All right, you're listening to the review of WWE's Elimination Chamber, the last Raw branded pay-per-view on the WWE Network. I am Patrick, joined by Evan Weston and Dustin Hales. Guys, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
I'm a mixed pot of emotions right now. I'm a little annoyed on a personal level, but as a critic, I'm mostly satisfied.
Let's go ahead and start with the main event. Roman Reigns defeats Braun Strowman, Elias, Finn Balor, John Cena, Seth Rollins, and The Miz.
Yeah, but he didn't, Patrick. Braun Strowman beat all those guys. And then Roman slipped on a banana peel and found himself in the main event of WrestleMania. And then got his ass kicked for his troubles. Let me give you the whole thing, and then you can rebut.
Okay.
Or, you know, I don't think it'll be a full rebuttal, but you can add your perspective. So we have continued the proud, now four-year-long WWE tradition of making Roman Reigns look as bad as possible on his way to a WrestleMania main event set up to fail. In the build to this match, Roman is easily the least cool of the seven guys, right? Braun is always cool. He got the cello thing and puts people up and is generally awesome. Elias got to beat Braun and Cena and is as hot as he's ever been. Miz beat Roman basically clean for the title, then retained the title and has looked good in the build. Rollins, of course, I don't even have to qualify for the gauntlet match. And then Balor went the full distance in the Rumble, didn't have to absorb any heat, and has been booked as Rollins' equal. Cena has been given this long-form story that I assume is leading to Undertaker about how no road to WrestleMania, and there's nothing for him. I think it's leading to a career versus career match, but we can talk about that.
I think that's the case too.
As we go later,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But my general point being, everyone in the match, except maybe Finn, has been booked as cooler than Roman, who coming into this pay per view, Dustin, I don't know if you'll believe this, is 2-5 in his last 7 televised matches coming into this show. So
yeah,
they took what had been an awesome IC title run, and look, I love The Miz. I had no reason to take that belt off him. None. Absolutely none. It was giving us great matches every week, and the crowd was into Roman. They had what they wanted.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not convinced they still care if he gets cheered, but if they did, they had what they wanted. But they cooled him off, and then they put him in there. He doesn't even start the match, so he isn't the Iron Man. He comes out when everybody's down, so all he can do is slap people. He's just a regular guy the entire match, doesn't do anything of note, gets nothing interesting, and just happens to be in the right place at the right time when Braun pins Rollins and is the only guy left. Meanwhile, up to this point, Braun has come in and been presented as a massive star. He has drawn all the attention of not just the crowd, but the cameras. It was designed that way. And he pinned everyone with his finisher, survived, I think, 3 or 4 spears before eventually getting put down. Normally, I don't care about finisher counts, but when you're building a guy up for Brock Lesnar, they matter a little bit.
Yeah.
Pinned everybody with his finish. And then, at the end of the match, Braun makes one mistake. Roman dives out of the way, and Braun puts himself through a pod. And Roman takes that opening to kick Braun's ass and pin him. Okay. You know, we got the Mania match, Roman and Brock, that we had to get. I wouldn't have protected Braun as much as they did, but all right. You got the moment. Roman at least got to pin Braun strongly at the end, and it feels like he's, you know, I'm ready for the Lesnar feud to start. And then Braun beats the shit out of him at the end? Why? For what purpose? Braun lost, so beating up Roman doesn't help him. He lost. And for Roman, you know, Braun gets presented like a star and then chokes And Roman banana peels his way into another WrestleMania main event and is laid out in a heap of the Lexan glass at the end of the show. Didn't help either of them. Now, I assume they're going to do the Cena Punk deal where Roman will have to face Braun one-on-one on Raw for the title shot and prove that he indeed is the one to take down Brock Lesnar, which, of course, he will win. That would help.
Yeah.
But it also hurts Braun totally unnecessarily.
Yeah, I see.
So there is no good outcome here. The only thing I'll say is, and we'll get to Cena and Undertaker later, but if that match is on the card, I think Roman and Brock would benefit a lot from not going last. But man, I don't see where the heat for that is going to come from, because I don't think people are that into Brock as champion right now. And I mean, it's going to work for me as a television viewer because I'm invested in the story. I'm invested in the character. I'm invested in the actor portraying the character, and I want to see it come to fruition, but it could have been so much more. And he'll feel like a paper champion compared to Braun. And it's frustrating. Because they just are so scared of doing what they want to do. But they won't stop doing it, if you know what I mean.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Right, so that's kind of my case here. I don't think Roman could have possibly looked worse coming out of this. And it feels like they don't want him in the match. It feels like everybody backstage knows that Roman and Lesnar is not the match. I think it is, but again, I understand why after the last month of booking, even I was saying, put Braun over. And I know Braun and Brock is a bad match. I've seen it more than once. But the way it was structured, you know, why wouldn't you want Braun to win? Or Seth? Or Cena?
Yeah, the way I 100% agree with you that over the past, ever since he lost the IC title, he's been pushed to the very back of the line.
Yeah, he's been.
Everybody else has been presented huge.
Now, I'll say this. I think it was an attempt to make tonight unpredictable. But if they were going to do the Braun destroys everyone thing, why even bother? You know, because no one comes out of this looking good. There are people who had their stories advanced, particularly Cena. But I don't think anybody improved their stock because of this match. And that's frustrating to me going into WrestleMania. I think from a booking standpoint, this main event was closer to a failure than it was a success.
Yeah, here's the thing. I actually agree with you on everything you just said. The reason why I wasn't necessarily mad at the end is, here's the thing. I did at the end, like, once Roman won, I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
And then when the Braun thing happened, I was waiting for Brock Lesnar to come out.
Yeah.
And then Braun came back, and I was like, this is kind of weird. Like, I was like, I thought this is kind of weird. Like, he's not going to be, you know, he just beat him. Like, here's why I wasn't that mad, because I literally came out of that saying, thank God. Like, because I was legit worried.
Well, I never thought he wasn't.
They've built Braun up so well. Like,
well, that was the thing. Like, what's the point? Just do it. If you're this scared of pushing Roman, then stick the IC title back on him and let me have great Roman matches in the mid-card. You know, just let me have that. I don't need him to be the top guy if he's not going to be the top guy. I get that a good portion of the fan base has rejected him. I don't view wrestling as a call and response interactive theater. I view it as a television product, and you know, I don't do that. But that's a completely different philosophical conversation. But if you don't want him to be the top guy, fine. But go one way and push him into the mid card for good. Put him in put the Shield back together for good. I don't give a shit. Put him in the mid card for good, or go all the way and have Roman pin everybody, or have Roman look good at the end and be toe to toe with Braun, Clash of the Titans, instead of, you know, getting his ass kicked and then, you know, slipping on an empty turtle shell and finding himself in the main event at WrestleMania.
Or have Roman be the first guy in.
Yes, exactly. Let him go all the way.
And he eliminate half of them and Braun eliminate half.
Yeah, have them go back and forth. Something like that. Just, and then don't have him get his ass kicked at the end of the match. Are you, oh my God. You understand my frustration.
I figured that's why you were pissed.
Yeah.
But I was so like.
You're just so happy that you won.
I was so thank God at the end that. Here's the thing, though. I love Braun.
It's funny.
But
I love Braun, too. And you know what? This is going to go against our record on this show. Screw Brock Lesnar. Braun should have won the title at the Rumble. And we could have done Roman and Braun in the main event because that's a way better match. Not better, because I think Brock Roman is awesome, but it's a hot match. That's a match people would have wanted to see.
Yeah.
I don't care that people don't want to see Roman and Brock. I'm not going to say I don't care because I'm talking about it. I do care, but it will not affect my enjoyment of it. But I want it to be that collective experience. I want us to all, you know, be hyped
for the
match. It's just going to be, you know, you and me, you know, sitting on the toilet thinking, oh, well, Roman Brock's going to be something cool, isn't it? Well, everybody else on Twitter shits on it. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
I wonder if it would have been beneficial to have, and I know this is one of my biggest criticisms of Brock, and it's not, I wonder if he should have been around more the last couple months to build, you know, out of sight, out of mind, kind of have that build up.
Could have just had Heyman and Roman talk a little bit. Brock didn't even need to be there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, because there really wasn't anything.
The first time Roman, I think, even mentioned Brock Lesnar was the gauntlet match when he got to recap the plot, then got rudely interrupted by Seth Rollins and had no comeback, and then lost like a geek.
Yep.
And then tonight he got a promo that gave away the main event when he said he was going to win, which I thought was hilarious because everybody in the building knew he was true.
Hilarious because I tweeted out something like,
Roman just spoiled the main event. but yeah, man, oof. I'm so sick of this. And I have no faith. I know he's going to beat Brock, but I have no faith that that Roman won't just lose the title in a few months, maybe even to Braun, and go right back down to the mid-card, and we'll have to do this again next year.
Yeah.
And over and over and over again until either the guy's body gives out on him or
pull the trigger on him or something.
Jesus Christ. Seriously. Or don't and stop pretending. Stop teasing us.
So here's the thing. I think I would have done things a little bit different. The way I have predicted things in my head, I had the group of Reigns, Rollins, and Cena teaming up to take out and eliminate Braun. And I actually had Roman and Rollins going the last two. And then Reigns getting his win back from losing to Rollins.
Yes, that would have been better.
I was thinking it might come down to that, to Reigns-Rollins. Because they built Rollins up huge the past couple weeks.
I was surprised. The first thing that really surprised me in the match was when Braun pinned Rollins. Because I had kind of blocked out of my mind that they might do what they did. And as soon as Braun pinned Rollins and it came down, and then I was like, oh, God, Roman's fucked. There is no good outcome for him here. And I know this is me just being a pissy mark because he's my favorite, and I always shit on people for that. But it hurts the quality of the show when you're this hesitant about the guy who is supposedly your top attraction.
Well, the problem is what they did was – they didn't do shit with Roman. He, like you said, he's been 2-5. They pushed everyone around him. Then suddenly he just wins the Elimination Chamber.
And he won in a way that made him look like he got lucky. That's what really annoyed me. You know, Braun made the one mistake and Roman made him pay for it, which is the same way Roman beat him last year on the pre-Mania pay-per-view. And Roman was set up to fail against The Undertaker. And Braun took it even worse there because he got pushed off the card altogether.
Yep.
Which won't happen this year. But man, I was really disappointed by this. Patrick, I liked your idea better. I like the idea of them trading eliminations. Just the way that Braun was presented as the obvious star. I mean, like a Hogan-level star the whole way through. And then Roman just beat him and then got his ass kicked for his troubles. Who does that help? Certainly doesn't help Roman. And I don't think it helps Braun as much as they think it does. What do we think of the rest of the match?
From a match standpoint, that was an odd match. Here's why. Personally, because from a match standpoint, like it was like a good match, but in a way it kind of fell flat. I did like the ending sequence, the very ending sequence. I actually did like between Braun and after Braun got thrown through the thing, and then that sequence that they did there at the end. I thought that that was a really cool sequence. But the match didn't seem as dynamic as I thought it was going to be.
It was kind of relaxed.
I thought it was going to be more crazy. Kind of, not that every Elimination Chamber has to be batshit crazy, but I thought they were going to be more, just more dynamic, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Well, it was a match. It's interesting. You know, Braun is wonderful, but he is still a big guy. And he just, I mean, he moves incredibly well for 400 pounds, but he doesn't move the way that, say, Seth Rollins does. So when you build the entire match around him, which I think it's inarguable that this was built around him, yeah. You know, you're going to get a Braun match. And Braun here, and I'll tell you what he was doing here, and this actually makes me a little worried about Braun's future. Braun was in the Big Show role here. This is what they used to do with Big Show when they would occasionally push him, like the Royal Rumble no one's allowed to speak about, where he, you know, is the dominant force that nobody can get rid of, and he destroys everybody, and then the guy who's winning beats him at the end. It's the classic giant in a battle royal. That's what Braun was in this match, except Braun is a face who they want people to love and who people do love. So that's where it was kind of weird for me. They booked him. I mean, and I appreciate that, you know, just because Braun is a good guy now, or, you know, it doesn't mean that his whole character has changed. But at the same time, if you're going to make the decision to build the match around him in the Big Show role, then, you know, it was just kind of tonally dissonant for me. I liked a lot of the spots. I liked a lot of the action. There were some moments that I really enjoyed. The quadruple powerbomb on Braun was pretty great. As contrived as it was, Braun tossing Miz off the pod was a lot of fun. Elias trying to cover everybody after cowarding out in the pod. Some fun moments in this, but I was pretty disappointed. And I really liked most of the rest of the show, but I was pretty bummed by this. I love the Elimination Chamber. I think it's a great gimmick. And I don't think that they totally – they used it for a purpose that I wasn't expecting, and that I don't think helped the gimmick, helped anybody else in the match. And from – you know, it's hard for me to separate that from, like, you know, I guess we're getting into the, you know, the existential realm again. What is match quality? If the match didn't tell a story that had a satisfying outcome, was it a good match because they did some cool moves? Of course not.
Yeah.
There are bad action movies with cool action sequences because the story sucks. You know? Yeah. So that's – I'm probably going to give it like 2¾ stars, I think. I was just – the more I think about it, the more frustrated I get by it.
Yeah, the way that this match was booked, they should have just had Braun win it.
Totally. And I would have been pissed because we wouldn't have gotten Roman Brock. But they were absolutely building this match around Braun.
I think that's the thing that's really messing with our heads right now. Is Braun was booked basically, like, built to win this match, but Roman did. Like, so it was kind of odd in the sense of, we all knew that Roman was, you know, this was supposed to be Roman's moment to get to the Mania match. And we knew that he was going to win, but it was kind of like, well, they booked themselves into a corner of where Braun should really win this. And how they have, you know, gone about the story over the past couple months.
Yeah, I would agree. It's
very weird. It's like, I want Roman to win, obviously, because he's my favorite wrestler of all time, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm getting there too.
And but it felt like one of those, like, well, I mean, it looks like they wanted Braun to win.
Yeah.
And I'd be mad too, because here's the thing. I like Braun, and all the crowd likes Braun too. And it makes me crazy, because it's like, I don't know. It's like, how do y'all hate Roman?
Yeah. Like, well, I'll tell you. I mean, do you actually want an answer to that question?
No, because I kind of...
Because there is one. And it's still, people are still pissed about 2015 Royal Rumble.
I know. I know.
Daniel Bryan is the... And it's, I mean, CM Punk on the podcast started it. Then they gave him those god-awful promos and put him in that god-awful feud with Big Show. And then the 2015 Rumble was the original let's set Roman up to fail.
Yeah, because they loved him before that.
Yep.
Like, as part of the Shield and everything, like, they loved him before that.
Even at the start of his singles run, he was doing well. The Orton match is very well received at SummerSlam. It's a great match. And then when he got hurt, it was and then they pretended like it didn't matter when he clearly wasn't ready.
And because he can't tell someone to take something, turn it sideways, and shove it up their candy ass, people don't like him.
Right. I mean, it had to be honestly, they should have saved
better on his
promo. They should have had Lesnar and Bryan at Mania 31. Lesnar should have won. Reigns should have beaten Rusev and been given the US challenge gimmick that Cena got.
Yeah.
And then Reigns should have been built to face Lesnar, who would still be champion at Mania 32. Because you remember how white hot Lesnar was.
Oh, yeah.
Lesnar-Bryan was the match, and Bryan should have lost to build up Reigns-Lesnar at Mania 32. That would have been – and I'm not saying anything that we didn't know then. That's the thing. But because they did that, they – and then – you know who? Here we go. You know who's really responsible for Roman never being able to recover, don't you? Time to play the game.
I was about to say Triple H.
Triple H, who created his greatest burial in 13 years, since literally racism, and it was over. He's done. And then the suspension was the final nail in the coffin. And here we are, where I think he's been booked pretty until last month, really well for like the last year.
And the title run was awesome.
Roman's like, Roman from getting dumped in the ambulance to Raw 25. I really didn't have many complaints for this booking, but every year with Mania season, things get goofy, and it feels like they're so stressed about him. Everything around him is exhausting. Why don't you just let this great talent be great?
Yeah.
We're still talking about it. We've been on the phone here for almost half an hour.
Yeah. No, I know. Like I said, I was just thrilled that he won the match.
Yes. Okay. Because I'm happy enough that we're getting Brock Roman. I'm sure they'll tell a great story for an audience of two. Three, I guess. Vince will enjoy it too. And maybe Roman's daughter, so four. And that'll be that. I do hope we get a big built Braun Roman singles match on TV, though. I think that would help Roman. Even if it would hurt Braun a little bit, if they're actually going to. That's the kind of thing where I'd be like, it's worth it to pull the trigger on Roman. So I think they're building to that, and I hope we get it. Because one, it'll probably rule, and two, Roman needs a strong win.
Yeah.
He needs a strong, convincing win on.
Look legitimate getting back into, you know, we only have, you know, so many weeks until Mania. So
6 weeks left. They have time. And then they got to figure out what they're doing with Braun, which I guess we can talk about next. Right. They set Kurt up to be in the mixed tag. Is Miz big enough? That's the only thing I can think of, unless they put him with Ronda. But they've set Kurt up for that.
I mean, they booked Braun to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 34. But that's not happening.
You're totally right. That's exactly what they did. That's exactly, Patrick, you are totally right. That is exactly what they did. And it isn't happening.
What else could be big enough for Braun at this stage?
Jesus, I don't know.
That's the problem. They've built him so. They made him unstoppable.
They're totally giving him all this so Triple H can work him over in the mixed tag, aren't they?
My God, you're right. Triple H is going to snuff out another career.
They're going to work his knee for 15 minutes.
Oh, shit, you're right.
He's brilliant. He just keeps getting better with age. He's like a fine wine.
Well, what he does is he builds the talent up, the hottest new thing, and then he strikes it down with great vengeance.
He's so good. Braun is going to be the sacrificial lamb for Ronda Rousey's hot tag. Oh God bless Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Holy crap. Oh, my God. God.
Slapped my knee, which is what Braun's going to be doing during the match.
That might be a fate worse than death.
I can't breathe, dude.
So obviously, we all hope that you are wrong.
Yeah, no, I want Kurt in there because, I mean, good segue. I think they did a great job setting that up. And two, God, do I want Braun to avoid Triple H? I want it so badly.
I think Kurt Angle. I feel like they set it up to where Kurt Angle is going to be in that match.
Yeah, I think so too. Give him Miz. Let him. My fantasy booking is still on the table. Give him Miz and give me the Ultimate Challenge 2 at WrestleMania 35. And then you can finally have your Braun beating Roman and winning the big one.
Yeah.
Heck, put Braun against Miz and the Mistrage.
Yeah. Hell yeah. 3-on-1 handicap match for the IC title.
Here's the thing. I'm usually opposed to that, but in Braun's case,
I'm throwing them around.
No, I know. That's why I say I'm usually opposed to that.
I misunderstood.
But in Braun's case, like, I feel like that would actually work, and that would be pretty cool. Like having him just throw everybody around, literally slinging Bo Dallas 30 yards. Like, yeah, awesome. I'm not sure. And like you said, they've built everybody. Roman, the least built guy, got the biggest match. So now you have all these other people with all these huge builds.
Well, Cena is clearly building to Undertaker.
Cena is
going to show up on SmackDown this week. And I think he's going to ask for a chance at Nakamura's title shot at Fastlane. Because he's a free agent. Nakamura hasn't been on TV, doesn't have a program. Cena is advertised for a match at Fastlane in the local ads. And he is talking about how is he going to get to WrestleMania. That would be his one last perceived avenue.
And you think he's going to lose that and then...
He goes to Nakamura, at which point The Undertaker will challenge him to a career versus career match at WrestleMania 34. Because both want to prove that they are not dead yet and only one of them can survive.
Okay.
And which Cena will win. And send Undertaker off into the sunset.
So Undertaker and John Cena are two of my all-time favorites. So,
I would rather Joe just show up and just choke him out. I think Jake Nazar said that on Twitter, and I thought it was a great idea. But I think Cena and Undertaker is happening. This build suggests that to me, and I think it is going to be career versus career, and I think that will close the show. With that story, you know, if you can tell a good story, I'm willing to sit through a less than stellar match. And yeah. Frustrated as I am that Taker let Roman down last year and really shouldn't be in the ring anymore, And as much as, again, they would be undercutting Roman by having Taker come back, it would be – that's a great story. And yeah. John Cena is a good enough actor to pull that story off. Did you see his promo on Raw Talk?
I did. I was watching that waiting. That
he was fantastic.
He was great. He's so good.
I think that plus if we get a Cena Nakamura pay-per-view match, I'm not going to be upset. Yeah. But man, yeah, that's my prediction for Cena. Rollins, I'm guessing Balor will turn heel. They'll have to find a way to set that up. But Balor has the club now, and there's too many faces on Raw. The two heels in that match were Miz and Elias.
I know. I was literally thinking about that in the match. I was like, they only got two heels here. Like,
so Balor has a way to get higher up the card if they turn him. And if Kurt is with Triple H and Braun is with Miz, then I think Rollins and Balor would be logical. I don't think you put Gallows and Anderson with Balor if you don't intend on turning him. They did it with Styles, and I think they're going to do it here too. So that's my guess, is that Balor will turn heel and face Rollins with the club at WrestleMania. And then it will be Miz and Braun and Kurt and Ronda against Triple H and Stephanie.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that happening, especially if Dean, you know, is healthy enough later in the year. I could see the Balor Club versus the Shield at some point.
That could work. I would think Dean would return to heel. But if they did want to do that, that would be fine. I'm never opposed to the Shield reuniting, so be fine with me. But yeah, that's kind of my guess. You could also
anything of any significant value with Elias at Mania.
That's frustrating. I would like to see him get a musical segment. Yes. And if he's the perfect guy that can get crashed and clowned by some legend. Like, if you want to bring in Austin or something to give him a stunner, you know, or something like that, he's the perfect act for it because he isn't hurt by it. He just goes out there and sings again the next night.
Yeah.
You know, so I would like to see him, like, commandeer the ring and sing until, you know, and then until he is given a legitimate challenger at WrestleMania, and then, you know, some legend comes out and just destroys him. Like, that would be fine with me. But it's hard for me to see him get in a match. Yeah.
How about he gets put into the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and the whole time he's ringside singing and never gets eliminated and ends up winning the whole thing?
Patrick, what's with you and the ideas tonight?
Yeah, you hate Elias, don't you?
No, that's a great idea. Anything that allows Elias to sing while other things are happening is good news for me.
Oh, I know, but he wanted to put him in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. That's a death. I mean, that's the worst. Okay, fair enough.
You did put him on the card. Hey, you already took out Jason Jordan. So if you get WrestleMania without either of them, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty mad too.
Especially because I'm going to be in the building. I would say I got my money's worth.
I hope you have to sit through Elias singing and clowning on New Orleans and every WWE fan for 5 minutes.
Well, listen. Patrick needs a bathroom break, so that would be perfect.
I'll tell you what, there's a baby face in that act. And I've said that for a while.
Just like the
gimmick, there's a baby face in that act that people were chanting, "Walk with Elias." I know it was the ironic adult males, but that's something. There's a baby face in that act. It was the least valuable WWE fan that was cheering him, but it was there. It was there. It was our demographic. That's us. We are the least value. We're sitting here at bum o'clock in the morning talking about this pay-per-view. We are lower than dirt, but it's something.
But by God, I'll watch the next one.
2 weeks. All right. So look, I want to go ahead and move on to another match that sort of ended similar to the main event. And that is Asuka Nia Jax. Because, again, Asuka got a quick roll-up to win the match, but Nia Jax took her out at the end.
Oh, Patrick, great chance for me to illustrate my point. This is about presentation and build and storytelling. Roman is presented like a weakling. Asuka is presented like an unstoppable killer. So an angle like this doesn't hurt her. It helps Nia. Right?
Yep.
Asuka can't lose. So if Asuka wins the match, she's accomplished what she came for. Now, I have no doubt that they're going to kill her stone dead when she loses the streak, because that's just what they do. But but as of right now, she is present. I mean, she has clean, strong wins. First of all, she won the Rumble. She has the clean, strong wins over Sasha and Bayley on Raw. She is being presented stronger than just about any character on the show. So yeah. You let Nia boss her around like this, that makes Nia look good. It doesn't make Asuka look bad. This is basic wrestling, right?
She wins via flash pin.
Right, exactly. These guys, and it's frustrating to me because I'm not calling them stupid. I think it's a fallacy when you say, oh, the WWE writers don't know what they're doing. Vince doesn't know what he's doing. Vince isn't dumb, okay? Vince has been doing this for a long time. He's made a lot of money doing it. He knows what he's doing. They're just scared with Roman. And
I completely agree.
The way they presented
it, it's like they're worried, like, if they put Roman on top, nobody's ever going to watch WWE again.
Which is ridiculous because, you know, I know this doesn't actually mean anything in regards to Roman, but I love saying it. The man main evented the three biggest live gates in the history of the business. Yeah. So you're clearly not – he's clearly not driving people away. So, yeah. I mean, look, as for this match, I thought this match was really good. I think Nia's great. I hope we get to see Nia destroy Alexa at WrestleMania because I would really enjoy that. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the women. I don't think we're going to know much until after Fastlane, because I still think there's a chance Asuka goes to challenge Charlotte. And
Devin was actually saying that. He thinks Asuka might go challenge Charlotte.
As much as it burns me to admit that Meltzer was right, the fact that Meltzer got the mixed tag right suggests to me that he was probably right about the rest of the card, and that he said it's Charlotte, Asuka, and Alexa, Nia. And I think they might be able to sneak Sasha Bayley on there as a third women's match, which would be dope.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. Yeah. I don't know. That might be pre-show.
I have no doubt about that we're getting Sasha Bayley on the Mania card too. But yeah, with Asuka and Nia tonight, I thought they had a good match. Hard-hitting. Nia's offense is just great. She can really move for a woman her size. She's incredibly athletic. I'm a big, big fan of hers. And Asuka is probably the most consistent woman on the roster in terms of in-ring. So there was no way this was going to be bad. I thought it overachieved slightly. I thought the finish was strong because of the presentation of the characters.
Yeah, no, I thought Asuka came out, like you said, I thought Asuka and Nia both came out looking great. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Asuka can't lose. You know, it's that, you know, that's why she's undefeated.
They got me wondering a little bit. They did. Yeah. And I know I'm smarter than that. Like, I wasn't scared about Roman, but I was kind of scared for Asuka because when they did the whole video package detailing the streak, I was like, oh God. You know, and they had the rumors around Nia being in the WrestleMania title match for Raw. And I was like, oh, Jesus, is this it? This can't possibly be it. Of course, it wasn't. But they kind of got me. And that's great. Yeah, yeah. They're going to get me every time because that's what a great winning streak gimmick is all about. The first thing NXT's ever been good for.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you guys on the direction of the women. And I'm sorry, Evan. This means Asuka is not going to kill Alexa Bliss. All right? And you never know. Neither might Nia Jax, because as Alexa proved tonight, we'll talk about this later on, she reigns supreme in the women's division.
They already gave away Alexa Asuka on Raw. Like, 2 months ago, and Asuka tapped Alexa clean. And then Alexa, like, didn't wrestle for another month and a half.
Listen, the goddess is on another level when it comes to retaining her championship, all right?
Oh, buddy. is ready for Asuka or Nia.
Like, or Nia. I thought that was actually, I like that match a lot. Like you said, Asuka has been great over the past couple months. She's had a great time.
Is she the best presented call up in history? I think Joe was great, but I think she's been better.
I think up to this point right now, as we speak, I think she is.
Yeah, I think so. Now, of course, it's still early.
I was about to say, they could, you know.
4 months into it. But and when she loses the streak is the real test. But this is going as well or better than anyone could have possibly imagined. Yeah. And it was another step and another example that Nia Jax is a legitimately good worker who should be treated as such.
Oh, I love Nia.
No, I know I'm not. I'm preaching to the choir here. But, you know, I still see a lot of the same, you know, big girl tropes with Nia, and it drives me nuts. She's awesome. Get used to it.
Yeah, Nia's awesome. About to say, just a troll at that point.
Yeah, no, totally.
All right, so just wrapping up just the Rousey signing, can I just say, probably my favorite spot of the whole night when Triple H went through that table. It was beautiful.
The best Triple H is slapstick villain Triple H. Snidely Whiplash Triple H. Shooter McGavin Triple H. And that's what this was. And it was terrific.
Okay, I've got a question. What do you think? Now here's the thing. It was first time, and I'm a Roman fan, so. but
I know what you're gonna ask.
should she talk for herself?
No, not yet. She was because bad.
She was pretty...
Now, I'll say this. She's got the gimmick down because this is what she was as an MMA fighter. She was all smiles until you pissed her off. And then, you know, you got mean, scary-ass Ronda.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought this, you know, I thought that was great. But man, was I scared when she was on the mic because she was bombing.
And she was really, really bad on the mic.
Bombing. And well, what's good about this is whoever her partner is, and I agree it's probably Kurt, is going to talk. And what the good thing about this is that it will protect her a little bit. I think that, you know, as much as I clown on Triple H for how brilliant he is at getting himself, I'm really not clowning on him. I'm genuinely impressed by it. But as much as I talk about that and joke about that, it is probably best for Ronda to be in a situation like this. Though reminded me of the you remember the Raw segment when Lesnar and Cena signed the contract for Extreme Rules and Lesnar just absolutely got destroyed and just was awful. And then they had to call Heyman out of his house after 6 years just to come talk for him.
Yes.
This reminded me of that.
It was bad enough to where it worries me a little bit. Like they need to figure. I feel like they will, but they're gonna have to do something about it. Because I think it could really hurt her pretty bad. Especially if you're trying to present her as already, you know, as a huge star already, badass huge star. That type of mic work is going to really hurt you. So that's the one thing. Now when Ronda, like you said, when she gets pissed, it's awesome. But she's going to have to find a way, or they're going to have to find a way for her to, at least in this first couple months, get her to WrestleMania without having to put her on the mic too much, which I think they can do pretty easily. But she's going to have to build that
she's going to have to build that part of her game. Because the other thing is, not only is mic work important, but obviously in-ring, and we don't know how she is in-ring yet.
I am willing to guess that she will be better in the ring than on the mic at the start of this.
I agree.
She's obviously a smart person and an incredibly physically gifted person. And shooters tend to pick the business up quicker than anybody else. And I believe that they will have her prepared to wrestle. Plus, you know, she's going to be in there with Steph. So if she's bad, people will just blame Steph.
Yep.
Or say, well, you know, she wasn't in there with a real wrestler. We can't judge anything.
That's a safe first match. Because you're
in really, again, as much as I've clowned Triple H for it, it really is the best scenario for Ronda. You can't stick her out there with Charlotte or with Asuka or even with Alexa. And you know, what if she dies a death?
Well, you can't. Here's why. Here's the difference.
Then you spent all this money and, you know, I know this goes completely against what I said last month, but I was hyped after that Rumble show. It's too risky.
No, here's the difference between her and Brock. Brock wrestled before. So yeah. You Brock coming back from his MMA run, Brock knew how to wrestle.
I'm not saying that this is a perfectly analogous situation, but you look at a guy like Chad Gable, who came in and was just immediately brilliant. Or what about Angle? Angle, who started the business in 99 and was champion by 2000.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Jordan got really good pretty quick. I know he was in FCW for a long time, but I'm convinced that he was better. He was really good for a lot longer than people are willing to admit. Shooters tend to – Matt Riddle, another great example. Shooters just kind of take to this. Baszler, that doesn't apply to everybody, but I just, you know, you look down the list and the success rate is pretty good. And none of them, not even Brock Lesnar, have been as good at what they did shooting than Ronda Rousey. So, you know, I genuinely believe that she will be just fine. The mic work is more of a concern to me than the in-ring. I'll say that.
Oh, I have 1,000.
They have good agents and they can hide her. And they can play with smoke and mirrors. She's going to be fine. It's the mic work that concerns me.
Yep. The only reason I brought up the in-ring ability, which I think she'll be fine too. The only reason I brought that up is coupled with, if she's not that great in the ring right off the bat, coupled with the bad mic work.
Sure. You heard the crowd tonight. They were ready to turn on her. They were ready to eat her alive. And what helped tonight, now this was a smarky Brooklyn style crowd. I had no use for them as soon as they chanted "You deserve it" at Alexa. But the I amuse you, don't I?
Smart crowd out of there, you know.
It was a crowd of Patrick's. God, the horror. The crowd was ready to eat her alive. This will transition us into talking about the segment proper, because the writing of this was the best written thing I've seen in the WWE in a minute. I mean, this was tremendously done. First of all, the material they gave to Ronda perfectly counterpointed all of the stuff that people were complaining about. You know, because of course that's everybody's instant reaction, is to try and find fault with something instead of just accepting that it's pretty cool. So point number one. Well, she hasn't earned it. You know, she didn't put in the time, learning her craft and putting in all her life into the business. She says she doesn't want any special privileges. She wants to earn things just like everybody else. She's only going to be a part-timer. She's signing a regular contract. She explicitly wants to be treated just like every other wrestler. If they're just going to throw her into a title match right away, she can't steal Asuka's moment. She's not asking for a title match. She just wants to be a part of it.
She just wants to earn one,
I thought the writing – now, her delivery was, of course, very poor, and she was never a good promo in MMA either. So this is something they're going to have to work with her on. I don't know how she was as good as she was in the Entourage movie, but as I don't like the movie. I want everybody listening to this to be clear.
Well, the problem is this is to a live crowd.
Right, of course. I know. I was making a very poor joke. But the thing is, the writing of this was so good. And it was clever.
I love
it. And they put that and you know what they did? You know what my favorite thing about this segment was? They finally connected babyface PR Triple H and Stephanie with conniving heel authority Triple H and Stephanie by having them both appear in the same segment and having Kurt call them out on their bullshit.
Oh, Kurt calling them out was hilarious. I was laughing out loud when Kurt was
Isn't that incredible? Well, that's when I realized I was afraid that this segment was going to go completely into the shitter. And that's when I realized I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, they got me. Because, wow. And Kurt crushed it.
Kurt's all. I love Kurt. He's all. He's one of my favorite GMs of all time.
Yeah, he had a verbal slip. It happens to everybody. He was awesome in this segment. Especially the second time he did it, after Stephanie tried to rescue it.
Now look, this may be a hot take, I'm not sure, but I feel like this was probably the best use of Kurt Angle since he returned to the WWE.
Oh, I completely agree with you. Completely.
Oh, it was great. I loved it.
That's what we love about Kurt Angle. That glibness, right? I mean, that's great stuff. But I loved how my complaint about Stephanie is always or Triple H even too is that they go out and on the show, like literally on Raw, where they're supposed to be the bad guys, and they keep acting like the bad guys. They put the they do the baby face stuff, like when she announced the Rumble and she got the whole division to it's all a front. It's all a lie. She just keeps you under her iron fist. If you don't chant yes with her, she'll destroy you. And
yes, I tweeted out.
Kurt tonight is my hero, my Olympic hero, in fact. All right, fire me now. he exposed that. It's all a lie. And that's it rings so true because it's all a lie in real life too.
Oh, I tweeted out. Oh, that's the best part. But I tweeted out like right after that segment, I tweeted out Steph and Triple H are outed as like demons stealing the souls of the wrestlers. Like,
oh my God, it was.
Oh, that was great, Kurt Angle outed. It was. No, I agree. That segment was awesome. I wish Ronda would have done. I wish her mic work would have been better. But that segment overall, I think worked. I thought it was great
because I love that. That's why I'm into this story. And I was not about this when it was rumored, but I am totally willing to give this a chance now because I love the story of NXT Papa Triple H and babyface PR founder of women's wrestling Stephanie.
Vince. I'm
bringing in the greatest coup that they could possibly bring in for Triple H, the biggest star he's ever signed, for Stephanie, the most famous women's athlete in the world. She's joining the company 3 years in the making. We own you, bitch. They hold grudges. They never forget.
Yeah.
And they are so, so narcissistic to the core that they have built this 3-year facade just to bring her in to take her down.
Yes.
And wow.
That was a great segment.
To me, they are 2 for 2 with home runs with Ronda. I agree that they need to get her a mouthpiece, but I am so, so here for what they're doing with her and for this mixed tag. I can't believe I'm excited for it, but they actually did.
So moving on, the first ever women's elimination chamber match for the Raw Women's Championship. Alexa Bliss handily defeated Bayley, Mandy Rose, Mickie James, Sasha Banks, and Sonya Deville to remain the face of the women's division in WWE.
Handedly, mind you.
Yeah, she looked great, didn't she?
Even when this, when the odds were against her at the end,
against
Bayley and Sasha Banks, Bliss overcame adversity. And the crowd was right. She did deserve it. But you know what? She also had to keep us humble and realized that we are not as good as she is, I would not have been able to do the same as she did.
I cracked. That was really good. God bless you, Patrick. You're the worst.
Here's the thing. I actually thought that match was the best on the card.
I agree. I loved it.
It was laid out wonderfully, in my opinion. I thought they laid it out great.
Totally. They did the Absolution thing. They got their shine, and then they got out.
Yep.
I loved that the Mickey thing ended up being a red herring, and that the whole thing with Alexa and Mickey, that Alexa was trying to connive her way into, you know, and it worked, and she got what she wanted because she knew Sasha and Bayley were a pair and Absolution were a pair, and she needed that, and then it didn't work.
Oh, it was great. I literally told Devin. Here's the thing. Here's what was awesome about that. I was watching the first portion of that match as we were driving about 85 miles per hour down. We went to a wrestling show in Nashville.
Oh, so, it's the wraps tonight.
Yeah, that match, that show was actually really good. Cool. Oh, yeah, and Dominic Greeny's great match. Which was the main event, but this is a quick cheap plug. But that show was great. So we were driving back from Nashville, and we literally had my phone was like I have like one of those magnetic holders, and I had that on, and I had it plugged into my phone. We had WWE Network on. I was like going 85 miles per hour around like on I-40 East coming back from Nashville. And I was watching that match, and we had to set my gas light came on. I was like, oh damn! I was like, I gotta put gas. Like, we gotta get gas. We were like 20 miles away from home, so we stopped. I got out, and I was putting gas in the tank. And I looked, and I saw that suddenly, like, I was like, oh my god! I was like, Alexa's in there with Sasha and Bayley. I was like, that's it. I was like, Mickey's gone.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I love Sasha hating Bayley so much that she had to turn on her before they could get rid of Alexa, and that being her downfall.
That was a great.
They did freaking Lion King. They did Mufasa reaching for his brother, and Sasha looking down at Bayley and saying, "Long live the king," and throwing her to her death at the Wildebeest Stampede. Okay, wasn't that good? But it was awesome.
No, I thought that match was laid out incredibly well. Everybody came out looking great.
It was awesome. I think Alexa came out. Now, I did have one niggle, and I wanted to see if you agreed with it. I thought the Twisted Bliss off the pod into the bank statement spot was way too much.
Here's the thing.
Because Alexa won, and because she's been using the DDT more as her finish, I don't think it killed her finish or anything like that, but was that an annoying no sell? It got me on their bad side, and they never quite recovered from that. But I'm not. I still think it was a great match, and I know that's a nitpick, but that was an annoying no sell for me.
If something gets you, if there's something like that gets you, that happens to me a lot too. If there's something that gets me. It's tough to get back in the match sometimes.
Well, the finish was so soon after that I didn't have enough time to recover from it.
Yeah,
and I knew Alexa was winning anyway, so it was like.
I know the exact spot you're talking about, and it was supposed to be more fluid. I think if she was supposed to catch her, what it was supposed to be, they tried too much there. It was supposed to be her do the Twisted Bliss. And Sasha reversed it, like, immediately, like, roll into the bank statement. And that's not what happened. What happened is she took the Twisted Bliss and then went straight to the bank statement. They tried to do too much there. That's what happened on that particular spot. Because I'm pretty sure, like I said, it was supposed to be a roll-through, a fluid roll-through into
that
the bank.
That made more sense. Because Sasha it doesn't seem like something they'd age in, right?
That was, but yeah.
They'd have Sasha no-sell somebody supersized. I don't know if it's her finisher anymore, but certainly a signature move. I don't Devin think they do enough stuff on that.
It was supposed to be a fluid through. It was supposed to be literally Sasha catches her and rolls her through into the bank.
Okay. That would have been, that's, I mean, that's an ambitious as hell spot. And I think I don't think anybody could have pulled that off. But yeah.
Yeah. But Devin and I talked about that.
I can only take the match as it happened and it came off like a no sell. And if it's a no sell or it's a botch, it's still a knock for me. But that would have made a lot more sense. And that was originally what I like thought they were going for. But I watched the replay and there was like a full second where Alexa's on top of Sasha. And you're right, it must have just been a bad botch because that's just an incredibly ambitious spot.
It was too, you're expecting to catch. I mean, here's the thing, Sasha's strong, sure, but you're trying to catch, you know, you know, you're trying to catch a human being who's jumping off, you know, like 12, 15 feet in the air, yeah, and you've got to catch them fluidly and flow into another move. Like, that's pretty ballsy right there.
Yeah.
To try to do that and try to hit that on the.
Yeah, that was nuts. And I'll say this because I've been pretty harsh on Alexa on this show. I thought she was terrific tonight. They put her in a position to succeed, unlike some wrestlers on this show. And I thought she did a tremendous job with what she was given. And God, that promo at the end is just her sweet spot, isn't it? That is a meaty fastball right down the middle that she, you know, just drive 500 feet out of the park. That is easy as it gets, and she crushed it. She had me believing.
Yeah.
That was the two times on the show that they got me was the Ronda segment and this. They got me. Good for you, because
that promo was awesome.
Listen, for tonight at least, your girl was awesome, and she earned her spot at WrestleMania. I thought she was terrific.
And let's not also forget, you know, while she was in the pod, you know, the cameras kept going to Alexa, and you know, you see the facials, like many times she was scared, and then when good things were good for her, and, you know, she was looking all cocky, and they kept going through that while she was in the pod. So I think that also added a lot of value to the match because everybody was gunning for Alexa and her championship. So to me, I think overall she definitely was great tonight, and for me too, this definitely was the better chamber match and my favorite match of the night.
Yep. Are we all agreed on that? It was my match of the night.
As my match of the night.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and wrap it up with the last two matches here on the show. Woken Hardy defeats Bray Wyatt in less than 10 minutes. Just a buffer match, really. Before the main event, I'm assuming that this is going to continue on and on and on till past WrestleMania
for all eternity.
They're setting up House of Horrors 2.
Oh my God.
House of Horrors 2, the final obsolescence.
Holy crap.
Instead of a refrigerator, the whole kitchen falls on Matt. All right, listen, I don't really have anything to say about this match. It sucked, but I want to take you back a year to the last iteration of this pay-per-view. Do y'all remember what Bray Wyatt was doing on that show? He was winning
the Elimination
Chamber match for the WWE title, where he pinned John Cena and AJ Styles clean as a whistle. He then pinned Cena again clean as a whistle 48 hours later to become WWE champion heading into WrestleMania. Tonight, a year later, on the same show, Bray Wyatt lost clean to Matt Hardy after being forced to run around like Wile E. fucking Coyote looking for him at the beginning of the match. How far we have fallen.
Let me tell you something. Devin and I, because we're marks, we were in the car on our way to Nashville, And Devin was – I asked Devin. I was like, all right, let's see the wrestlers' ages. Let's go through the main roster and see who's got, you know, time left, who looks like they're in their, you know, their prime, all that. We were going through and we got to Bray Wyatt. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, Bray, you got to be hopefully in like your late 30s or early 40s. Nope. Bray Wyatt's a nice, crisp 30 years old. Which means that we've got another 10 years of the same character being recycled through for it. I don't even know what this character is. It's like a worse version. He's somebody they always put in the main event, and they, like, push him for a minute to lose.
Well, here's what he is. He's Kane.
You know what I was going to say. He's
Kane. Everybody thought he was the new Undertaker. He's Kane.
That's what he is. He's Kane.
Yeah, he's Kane. He continuously is put in the spot to appear as a threat, although they really haven't done that anymore. Since he got the mumps, they really haven't even bothered. I mean, this feud has been so lower mid-card. I'm surprised it even made the main show. They went over time. They could have easily bumped it. Nobody would have noticed. But here's the thing with Bray Wyatt that frustrates me. Because he actually had potential, didn't he? I mean, he's not a great worker, but he could go a little bit.
He could go. You can tell when he wrestles certain people, he can go.
Yeah, sure. You know, he's got some spots that are cool. And the gimmick, when he debuted it, it rocked. It absolutely rocked. And then they just kept feeding him to people. And then it looked like they were finally going to turn him baby. He had hit rock bottom. Oh, wow. I didn't even realize I was making that pun. Because he hit rock bottom. Wow. Jesus Christ. After he jobbed out to The Rock at WrestleMania. And it looked like they were going to give him the babyface turn that he desperately needed. And they, you know, put him with Roman that one night. And they got that all-timer gif. And then he got hurt. And they chickened out. And then they made him cool again with Randy. And then they destroyed him. And, you know, The Undertaker destroyed him multiple times. And Cena destroyed him. And it's just like, you know, we are so beyond repair with Bray Wyatt. That you almost want Husky to come back. And I kind of feel for Wyndham Rotunda a little bit. Because the guy had a money gimmick. And not only – I mean, this isn't even a CM Punk situation where he bitched and moaned about not being in the main event when he was, like, the number two guy on the show forever. But, you know, and I get, you know, it wasn't like he was just, you know, smacking at the glass ceiling and couldn't break it. No. He's been utterly decimated by top acts over legacy acts over
father, like
destroyed, absolutely massacred.
Yeah.
And I feel for the guy.
No, I do too. And the thing is, the way his character is, I think what sucks even more for Bray is the way his character's portrayed is that his character, it's almost like you want to tell his character, like, buddy, you suck.
Yeah.
You don't beat anybody.
Stop. Shut up. Like, shut up. Stop talking.
Yeah, it's like
he's a Ziggler. He's been around too long, but he got to Ziggler level in half the time. He got pushed hard as Ziggler ever did, and he just failed over and over and over again. And the whole concept behind the character is that his words need to have power. He's an automatic mute button.
Yeah.
It sucks. You know, I normally think that they use their characters fairly well, and I normally think they pick the right people to be in the right spots, but I think they missed a trick with Bray, and it's a little disappointing because I think we're well beyond the point of no return, and I think they know that too. But I think he was a missed opportunity, and I think we'll wonder what might have been.
Let's hope we don't have to continue to deal with that much more longer. I mean, especially with Sanity coming up at some point this year, how much more to quote Broken Matt Hardy, obsolete will the Bray Wyatt character be?
I don't know if Sanity is that similar to him, other than the look. The look is, I don't think the idea behind the character is, but the problem is, I mean,
he's 32. I mean,
he's just, it's over. It's over.
But meanwhile, that's the thing I'm saying. Meanwhile, unless they take his character and completely redo it.
Yeah, I mean, he needs a complete, it might not be over for Wyndham Rotunda, but it is over for Bray Wyatt.
That's over for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, meanwhile, Matt Hardy can't even move. And when Jeff comes back, Matt really should just talk for him.
I agree 100%.
Because this match was bad.
And here's the thing. I've always liked Matt. He's been a great wrestler.
I love Matt.
But he's just, I mean, over he's
completely broken. He doesn't have knees. He can't move.
He really can't move. He almost looks like Kurt Angle.
And it's absolutely not his fault at all. The guy put his body through war. I love him to death. I love Matt Hardy. I really don't mean this to be negative, but Father Time is undefeated, baby. And he's rapping at the door.
All right. Well, lastly, Cesaro and Sheamus prove once again why they are the bar in the tag team division as they retain their championships against titles worldwide. Another 10-minute match. It was a match. I didn't have a lot of high expectations with Apollo and Titus as the opponents, even if they did already beat him once. But the bar, you know, continues to win, and they are the champs. What do you guys think, and what is next for the bar?
I actually thought – I thought that was a good match in terms of, like, if you took – like, it wasn't that meaningful in terms of, like, you know, what's going to happen. It's just basically the bar taking out Titus Worldwide until their next opponents. But in terms of match quality, I thought it was a good match. I mean, the bar usually always, I mean, they're a fantastic tag team. I thought the match itself was a good match. But at the time, I didn't really care that much, if that makes sense. But I thought it was a good match.
I wasn't as high on it as you were. I don't know if it's a hot take. I have very little use for Titus Worldwide. The only thing I really like about the gimmick is Dana, who is, God bless her, just wonderful. But, man, Titus has never approached good in the ring. And Apollo ain't much better. And I thought the bar did what they could. But there was zero reason to be invested in this. Mostly because you've watched all of Raw, right, Dustin?
Yeah.
So they already did this, right?
Yeah.
Titus Worldwide and beat them twice. They got a title match. They lost clean. And then they had nothing better for the bar to do. So they just did it again.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. If you watch this match.
I get that filler pay-per-view title defenses are a thing. And I don't have a problem with that. But, like, at least give me one that I didn't see 3 weeks ago the exact same way.
Match. Yeah, and when I say good, I'm not talking about, like, it's like, you know, I'm saying it was a match that didn't make me throw up.
The bar are never bad. I actually thought some of their Raw matches were better than this, though. I didn't think it was particularly noteworthy in any way. And I hope not to have to see this match, this matchup again.
Yeah, I agree. But I'll tell you what I am excited about. Since I'm pretty sure. Are we done talking about this match?
Pretty much.
I'm excited about Wilder and Dawson. I think that they're going to. I think they're starting to build them up, and they're going to become a nice tag team to have to throw into the mix here and get things kind of It'll be a great deal.
I still think they're the best tag team in the world.
Oh, I love
them. You know what? Put anybody up there. The dream match for me is them against the Usos. But until we get that, I worry that they see them as guys that are too much fun to laugh at and can clown a bunch like they did with DX. I'm happy that they seemingly won their feud with the club. I don't think there's enough room for the Raw tag team titles on the Mania card. And I think that all those guys are going to find themselves in the Andre. Because the card is already loaded. And I just, especially if the Usos get on the card, which again, I'm having trouble seeing, but you've got Cena and Taker. That's one. Lesnar Reigns, two. The Rousey Mix Tag, three. Styles Nakamura's, four. Bronze match, which is probably Miz, is five. Shane's match, which is probably Kevin and Sammy in some sort. That's six. Both women's titles matches. That's eight. Seth's match is nine. Bailey Banks is 10. The Cruiserweight title match is 11. And the Andre is 12.
Yeah.
That's – last 2 years have been 13. Last year was 13. You've got one match left, and you've already left out all of the SmackDown men's division. So I don't see how they get on the card. I think they're going to be in the Battle Royal. After WrestleMania – I would like to see the Revival get a nice little push into the Raw tag team division. I'm under no illusions that they will push them like they did in NXT, where they were a primary attraction. But if you give me a bunch of 12 to 15 minute Revival matches, I'll be happy. I'll say that.
Yeah. I'm just happy that they were, because I'm always worried whenever they bring people up from NXT. I'm always worried how they're going to come across or how.
Yeah, well, the injuries killed them too, because they went over New Day clean 2 weeks in a row. Like, it looked like they were going to push them, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, but I'm excited about the Revival in the upcoming months.
Yeah, yeah, and even if I don't even care if it's heel versus heel, if we get Revival versus Sheamus and Cesaro, sign me up.
Yeah, that would definitely be a totally fun match I hope to see for many a times. All right, so it's time to give Elimination Chamber a grade.
I give it a B-.
God damn it, Austin.
I give it a B-. Here's why.
Stop. I thought you were going to go higher, and I was going to be like, oh, I'm actually giving it a B-. Well, I don't get to do that.
Well, here's why. I agree with you in the terms of I didn't think the Raw's chamber match did not live up to my expectations, but Roman won, who I wanted to win. But it didn't feel as glorious as I wanted it to be. I thought the SmackDown Women's Chamber was a great match, everything was laid out and everybody looked good coming out of that. And I thought the other matches, I thought Nia Oscar was really good. And that had both of them came out looking great. We already discussed this. I thought Ronda was a little shaky getting the mic, but once the segment got going, I thought that segment was incredible. And then the other two matches were just there. So I feel like B-minus is kind of perfect for this, in my opinion, in terms of how everything played out.
I know. What on earth is that?
Yeah, what was that?
Something just started playing on my computer. I'm so sorry.
I thought you were giving me a drum roll or something.
No. I'm not nearly that creative.
B-. Sorry, I mean to steal your rating.
All right. Well, see, here's the thing. I can't actually give anything with that Ronda Hunter Steph angle lower, like a not good grade. God, I loved that angle so much.
That was a great angle.
But it was also badly executed for half of it.
Oh, so, I know.
B minus. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to add a little spice here, but I was so frustrated by Roman's presentation, as I have been for the last month. Just very, very disappointed in their continued cowardice when it comes to his push. I don't know where they're going with Braun here, because it doesn't appear that, unless they've got somebody like Batista coming back, or God, Goldberg's going to be there.
Oh.
All right, I'm not even going to let myself get my hopes up for that. But anyway, you know, they did a great job with the women, with Asuka, Nia, with the women's chamber. I thought Alexa came out of this great. The Sasha Bailey thing is going to be fantastic. And the Ronda segment was one of my favorite segments in a long, long time. In terms of
the women came out looking great in this paper.
Yeah, all of them did. Every single one of them did. They need a mouthpiece for Ronda, and it looks like they have one in Kurt for the next few weeks at least. And I thought that that was my favorite Triple H and Stephanie segment. Jesus, in probably 4 years. So since I've been an active viewer, that was the most I've ever enjoyed one of their segments, because it felt honest. And so they get a very strong grade for their honesty with that, but it gets marked down for their dishonesty with Roman. So because Roman won, B minus. He did win, and we are getting the match.
Yeah.
And if we get the Heyman promo I think we're getting tomorrow night, all will be forgiven.
And so I'm giving it a B, because I'm not as heartbroken as you as far as the way that they handled Roman winning.
Considering how your girl looked.
I was about to say, he's giving it a B because of Alexa Bliss. A B really for Bliss.
No.
Well, you know how they say the blood of Bliss covers all sins?
I mean, I just said that for the first time, but...
That was a fantastic performance, I thought, and a pretty good show overall. It delivered for the most part where it needed to. A lot of the outcomes, while very predictable, are leading to a WrestleMania that should be enjoyable for all. We got, 6-7 weeks to get there. Many things are going to happen. And we'll see some fun matches along the way.
I'm ready to go. But we still have to get into the fast lane on the road to WrestleMania.
All right, here's my thing about Fastlane. Maybe we can just do a group text message about Fastlane.
I can't wait for that podcast.
That podcast will be about 4 minutes.
No. Okay, I have a hot take for you, Dustin. Fastlane is going to be a very good show.
Actually, here's the thing.
Card rules. If you take away the booking and the build of SmackDown, and you think about Fastlane as a card, the five-way will be a fun spot fest, and AJ's going to win, right?
Yeah.
Charlotte versus Ruby Riott sounds awesome. As of right now, and I think this may change, but we are getting an Usos New Day match, which I will never turn down. At the very least, we're getting a match with the two of them in it, and the potential addies are Gable and Benjamin, who rock, and the Bludgeon Brothers, who rock. So there's no downside there. And as of right now, we are getting a match that I have wanted for a long time, Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton. And there's a very good chance Shinsuke Nakamura versus John Cena for the WWE Championship number one contendership is added to the card. So in terms of actual match quality on the card, Fastlane looks dope. The problem is fucking Road Dogg has made the show so unappealing from a booking standpoint and from a story standpoint that I can't possibly be any more excited about it than like this abstract way.
This idea that maybe if I just mute the
exactly,
TV.
Exactly. But this does have all the makings of a SmackDown pay-per-view that looks like garbage going in, and you come out of it and you're like, that rocked. Remember Hell in a Cell?
Yep.
I think this might be similar. I'm not saying it's going to be that good, but that looked dire, and it turned out to be pretty fun. and it wouldn't blow me away if this ended up being the same way.
Well, it is the last pay-per-view before Mania, so they're going to want to try to jumpstart whatever they have.
Yeah, and I really think the Nakamura, the way that, with the fact that Cena is advertised and the story they're telling, and the fact that they've deliberately not given Nakamura an opponent, it really is adding up to me.
Yeah,
that's going to get added to the card, which would make me genuinely excited about it, because I liked their TV match in August, but that was a dream match for me for a long time. And I've wanted it presented in a big pay-per-view setting, and I really, really hope we get that chance. That's the kind of match that would sell a ticket for me.
Yeah, no, we're talking big match John here.
Yep, that's exactly right. Especially Grumpy Puro Dad John Cena against an actual Grumpy Puro Dad. Hell yeah.
Okay, you've convinced me to watch Fastlane.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, everybody should watch Fastlane, happening on March 11th on the WWE Network, and then listen to us talk about it a day later. So to make sure you catch that and all the rest of our shows and our reviews, subscribe to the FOW Radio Network on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. Follow FOW Radio on Twitter at FOW Radio. Evan's on Twitter at Evan L. Weston. Dustin's on Twitter at Drive-By Outcast. I'm on Twitter at Yellowman PA. That's it for our review of Elimination Chamber 2018. Goodbye. Good night. We're out of here.